WLULP in Logan. My name is Richard Allen Blake, and I'd like to welcome you all back to my next episode of Baladish Anish, or Folklore Now. Today I thought I'd take things into a more interesting trend. I did mention that I was thinking of going into Wikipedia and commercials, and I think that's where I'm going to be taking it today. I did mention that I was going to play a folk song that I wasn't able to play last time due to time, but I think that that's going to go by the wayside because I'm not going to be able to do that today. Perhaps I will pull up that song at another time, but today's two subjects I think I need to really go into a bit of details with, because really it can be a lot of fun doing the things that I'm going to be doing here today with these commercials and with Wikipedia. What do you think of course, when you think of Wikipedia? When you go and type in a subject into a Google search, the first thing, or one of the first things that always comes up, is the Wikipedia page for that particular topic. You can type in, I want to know about Adam Smith, and then you pull up the article about Adam Smith. And of course, it's always going to be the English version of the Wikipedia article that you're going to be getting there. With the Wikipedia, sometimes these articles can be really long. Sometimes they're not. It just depends on the topic that you're looking into it. One of the fun things that a lot of people do is to go into Wikipedia and to see what the newest, latest topic is that has been thrown onto Wikipedia. If you go onto Wikipedia's front page, there are major topics that are the topics of the day, for lack of a better term. And you can go through those. Those tend to be longer Wikipedia articles, of course. One of the things that you do need to realize about Wikipedia, though, is that this encyclopedia is not necessarily the most accurate thing in the world in order to get your information. A lot of times people will go to Wikipedia when they're looking for research stuff, but then they have to go from there to another topic. Sometimes you just check out what the sources are, and if the sources look reliable, then you go to those sources and then continue on from there. But never think that Wikipedia's account is always accurate. Basically, what Wikipedia does, it is a self-editing service. And I think how I'm going to start talking about this is that I'm sure you've noticed that if you use Siri or if you use Alexa, you say, Alexa, tell me about this. And the first response is always, according to Wikipedia, blah, 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 blah. And so, hey, you know, it must be a wonderful, wonderfully accurate source of information. But of course, that's not necessarily what I'd want people to understand, because just about anybody can go in there and make changes. Some articles are locked in place, so people can't go in there and just randomly change things. They had some incidents in the past where people have done that, and so they just want to make sure that there's good information. And I want everyone, of course, to realize that Wikipedia isn't necessarily unbiased. No matter what is claimed by Wikipedia, that it is, you know, totally reliable and that the information in this can be relied upon as mostly accurate. And they try and go in there and make corrections when they have to. But the biases of people who do the editing can be laid out or can make itself known by what it says about different people. It could put in controversial things or completely ignore it when it's talking about specific people or certain topics. And as long as you use the correct phraseology, it's going to be fine unless someone else tries to go in there and correct it. So to start with, I think the best place to look into Wikipedia is to look at Wikipedia's article about Wikipedia. Here it says, Wikipedia is a multilingual online encyclopedia based on open collaboration through a wiki-based content editing system. It is the largest and most popular general reference work on the World Wide Web, and in one of the most popular websites ranked by Alexa as of June 2019. It features exclusive free content and no commercial ads, and it's owned and supported by the Wiki Foundation, a nonprofit organization funded primarily through donations. So there it's saying, this is why it's reliable. We aren't beholden to anyone, and therefore you can trust us. Then Wikipedia was launched on January 15, 2001 by Jimmy Wales and Larry Sanger. Sanger coined its name as portmanteau of wiki, which is the Hawaiian word for quick, and encyclopedia. Initially, an English language encyclopedia, versions in other languages were quickly developed with over 5 million articles. The English Wikipedia is the largest of the more than 290 Wikipedia encyclopedias. Overall, Wikipedia comprises more than 40 million articles in 301 different languages, and by February 2014 had reached 18 million page views and nearly 500 million unique visitors per month. One of the fun things that I've always liked to do with Wikipedia, of course, I'm one of those language buffs who likes to study languages. So a lot of the articles, of course, you can find in multiple languages. You can go and look up, say, the French Revolution in French, and you're going to find a good-sized article about that. Of course, when you go into certain languages, you might come up with topics that will have an article, but it's like really short because who's going to sit and take the time to write in the Irish language a many, many paragraphed article, say, about the wonders of spearmint gum or something like that. They just aren't going to waste the time to put that in there, the people who speak the Irish language. You will find far more longer articles in that language about Irish topics, like about Ireland or the Irish language itself. You could say the same thing for the Basque and Welsh languages. And I just love going through there and reading it and seeing how well I can follow the language that goes there. And of course, my skills in those languages might not catch all the little problems that can come up when you're reading something in that language. I don't know exactly necessarily if they are completely following correct grammar guidelines when they're writing in that language. I would have to ask an expert, and sadly, there are not a lot of experts around here who know those languages. I'm not able to talk to them. So an example of something else that I want to show you that follows along the guidelines and will explain better through example what can happen, misunderstandings that people might have when they are reading Wikipedia and they might be wanting to get the most accurate and best information. I randomly picked a topic like the American Revolution because as an American, I know a whole bunch of things about this, of course. There are a lot of things that I have forgotten, probably because I have just not continuously kept reading up on it, but I am doing my best to try and stay on top of things there, because in this day and age, I think understanding American history is really important. This is the Wikipedia entry for the American Revolution. So the American Revolution was a colonial revolt which occurred between 1765 and 1783. The American patriots in the 13 colonies defeated the British in the American Revolutionary War with the assistance of the French, winning independence from Great Britain and establishing the United States of America. The first thing you need to understand here is that when I see it say the American Revolution started in 1765, that of course is saying, well, wait a minute, there wasn't actually any fighting and war going on until 1775 after the battles of Bunker Hill and of Lexington and Concord. So I'm thinking, okay, why do they put it at 1765? Basically, they are separating the American Revolutionary War. The revolution, it seems that they are starting with the Intolerable Acts, the Coercion Acts that the British called them. And they essentially are putting down taxes to make the colonies pay for the defense that the British had done in protecting them from the French during the Seven Years' War, which was called the French and Indian War on the American continent. The Seven Years' War was actually fought all over the world, and the British had picked up quite a bill, and the colonies should pay their fair share, correct? Well, of course, the colonials didn't see it that way. They thought, well, this is taxation without representation, or that was their justification later. According to this, the American Revolution starts with the Intolerable Acts. Then it has a separate article for the American Revolutionary War, which does say that it begins in 1775 to 1783. And you have another really long article here about the American Revolutionary War. It talks about the different people who played a significant role. There are a few examples of people who get more detailed explanations. People have more to say about them than others for obvious reasons, whether it's because of someone being more significant or they're trying to or wanting to emphasize the direction that a certain person had taken things. And these people would have their own articles as well. So the American Revolutionary War, this article was pretty certainly written by an American originally, and maybe some people have made some alterations to it. It gives a pretty good glowing review of the American colonist side of things, while not necessarily making the British look bad, just making it look like the British were overstepping their bounds. While the British themselves were thinking, well, heck, why aren't you paying your bill? Here we get a slant in the direction of the American revolutionaries. Theoretically, because this is Wikipedia, I could walk in here and say George Washington's middle name was George Albert Washington or something like that. People might automatically assume that Albert was his middle name because it's sitting here in Wikipedia, so it has to be true, right? Well, wrong. Someone will have to go in there and someone would catch the fact that George Washington, that is not his middle name. We need to fix it back. But it's not always caught immediately. I do not know how many people are going through Wikipedia looking for these particular mistakes and correcting them, but that is kind of the trend of Wikipedia, that you need to be careful about what you see here and don't necessarily automatically assume it's the facts. In consulting the facts, of course, you go down to the bottom here where they talk about references and notes. I'm looking here in the notes of the American Revolutionary War. Some of these articles, The History of the British Army by John Fortescue, I don't quite know who that is, so I'd have to go and look that up probably. There are some links down here that can jump towards that. Terms of the French Empire, colloquially referred to as Empire under Napoleon, but it is used here for brevity to refer to French proper and to the colonial empire that the Kingdom of France ruled. Of course, Napoleon actually had nothing to do with the American Revolution. He was involved with the War of 1812 that some people call the Second War of Independence for the Americans, but the way you use your sources when you're doing history makes a whole lot of difference. Just because it looks kind of strange as a source, that doesn't mean it's not reliable. So you'd go in and you'd look at these different sources to see how reliable they might be or see who the author is. If the author is Robert Smith the Plumber and he's talking about colonial revolutionary wars, unless he has a PhD or master's degree in history, you might not consider that person the most reliable of sources. Being the folklorist that I am, I also decided to take a look at the article in here about folklore. And, you know, folklore is the expressive body of culture shared by a particular group of people. It encompasses the traditions common to the culture, subculture, or group. These include oral traditions such as tales, proverbs, and jokes. And, of course, this continues on with a long explanation, kind of like how I read off that Alan Dundy's list of what folklore is. Then the fun thing I said I'd like to do is I go down here and voila, there is an Irish language article about folklore in here as well. This article, unlike the original folklore article, this article is 4 paragraphs long. It's not very long. Of course, we have no idea who the author is. Of course, even if you speak Irish, odds are if you know Irish, you know English. So if you want information, you're probably going to go to the English version of the Wikipedia. It seems that this foreign language thing is a hobby for some people who want to get that page up there and they can show their friends, hey, look at what I created. So you can create your own pages. The reason I think this is a folk tradition is because people just go in there and lay things out. They write things out the way they like it. They write and say, look, I wrote this in the Irish language. See how wonderful it is. And of course, people who don't know the Irish language might not know just how wonderful it really is. The basic idea behind having something in another language is they probably don't know how to read or speak English. But of course, like I said, I don't know if there's such a thing as an Irish speaker or a native Irish speaker, I should say, who doesn't speak English. That's probably all I want to say about Wikipedia. I just want to emphasize the fact that, like a lot of different trends that people do, people just rely too much on Wikipedia for their information. And I've had several students who tried using Wikipedia as one of their sources. And I have to point out, look, this is not necessarily reliable. I know Alexa and Siri love talking about it, but this is free for a reason. It is self-edited, and at any given time, something could change, and therefore any quotes that you make out of it could be completely different the next time someone goes in to look at it. That is Wikipedia. The next thing I'm going to talk about today is the idea about commercials and reactions that people have with commercials. I'm sure you've all seen those memes where they create something that is catchy to someone else who might think, oh my gosh, this is a real photo that I am seeing online, or this is amazing that this guy was able to take this picture while he was hanging off a cliff, or this guy was really reckless standing on the top of the World Trade Center when it was about to go down. Of course, those things were photoshopped. They didn't really happen. And once people realized that these were photoshopped, you'd suddenly see things popping up online where you have that guy, you have the same guy that was supposedly standing on the World Trade Center. You can see a picture of him standing on a cliff somewhere on Mount Everest. Or the next thing you know, he's sitting at McDonald's or standing in line at McDonald's. Or he's standing out there in Times Square when some rally's going on, and people just kept adding their own little things to it. Unfortunately, this is an audio broadcast, so I can't really show you any visual things, but what I'm going to be talking about is these are TV commercials. But I am going to explain them to you before I go into them. So if you give me 1 second, we'll get started. Where I want to go with commercials is in the direction of how a folklorist will look at trends that originate as a result of the commercials. Some interesting things, of course, have popped up whenever something comes out. A new product has a catchphrase or a line, or they have some kind of setup that is distinctly theirs that pretty much continues on with many other products that they may have to sell, or if it's the same product, they're just presenting it the same way, but they're using a similar catchphrase, whether it's something like they're after me lucky charms, or things like this ain't Pace Picante sauce, or this ain't Pace thick and chunky salsa. You have to get this from San Antonio if you want it to taste right, but this is made in New York City, you know, as if there's no one in New York City who can possibly know what they're doing when they're making that sauce. One of the things that I'm going to be talking about today deals with an ad about Calgon bath soap. It's a little bit more complicated than bath soap, but I'll call it bath soap because I'm not sure what it technically falls into. Then I'm going to do another ad that's a political ad that some people had fun with as well that I'd like to share with you. But when it comes to things like Calgon, there's a catchphrase, Calgon take me away, and that sort of has carried on outside of the adosphere or whatever you want to call it, out of the commercials and kind of modern life with people using it for other reasons. And basically what the commercial is someone is having a hectic day. They say, Calgon, take me away. And then the next thing you know, they're laying in a bathtub with all these suds, you know, bubble bath suds, probably Calgon suds. And you have a woman laying there and her leg pokes out of the bubble bath and then back in. Of course, everyone always thinks about the woman in the bubble bath whenever they hear that phrase. So I'm going to play this for you, and then I'm just going to add a few things about it, and then I'm going to play you a parody that one person had made about it, and we'll see what you think about that. But just listen to this and think about what this is bringing to mind. Of course, this is a TV commercial, and I'm playing this on the radio, but my description, you should be able to follow the description that I gave you about the Calgon commercial. Sorry if the audio quality of those two commercials wasn't the greatest, but that was the best I could do with the amount of time that I had to pull all this together. So, as you can see, the Calgon is where you go to you go to get away from it all, and you want to forget about all your troubles, as if when you're in a Calgon bath that none of these things are ever going to bother you. I guess you could lock yourself in the bathroom and not have to, if you have a soundproof bathroom, you don't have to listen to the kids or the dog or the telephone. But basically, this is supposed to relax and help you to pretty much forget all of your problems that you've ever had. Of course, the catchphrase, Calgon, take me away, was picked up by some people who were doing things like when they're at work or they're doing something and like, oh, this is just so annoying, blah, 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 Calgon, take me away. You know, people just use that stupid phrase to use that cliche phrase to, it's like, oh man, why do I have to be here? Calgon, take me away. I had a couple experiences where you come across these particular situations at work and that phrase would come up and you're like, ah, oh, Calgon, take me away. Get these customers out of here at Taco Bell or whatever. They're bugging me too much. And once one person says it, everyone's thinking about it every time something gets really busy. That's kind of how Calgon, take me away got into the popular culture with a lot of things. Some people don't realize where the Calgon, take me away phrase comes from. Well, that's where it comes from. And it first made itself known in the 70s and the 80s, but Calgon is still around and they have more than one product now, but that's where the first entrance of Calgon entered the folk sphere of things, and it's pretty much stuck around ever since. This next piece I'm going to play for you is a parody from Family Guy. So on a Family Guy commercial, Peter, I guess, is trying to help some guy get his stress removed, and so he pretty much says, Calgon, take me away, and he gets this guy into a bathtub, and then the tub starts flying off. So let me play this for you, and then I can make another comment, because this is interesting the way they did this.
I don't like this, you guys. This is bad. Joe's gonna find out. I just know it.
He's Quagmire. You need to relax. And I know how to help. Calgon, take him away.
This is worse, Peter.
Relax. This is supposed to be your time. This is the right way to deal with your problems.
What essentially just happened there was Peter says, oh, you're just so stressed, and I know how to solve it. Calgon, take him away. Then he's in a tub, and all of a sudden the tub starts flying off, and then, of course, he says, this is worse, Peter. He says, oh, just relax. And when you hear the phrase, Calgon, take me away, of course, what you're thinking about is take me away from my problems. And here in this particular Family Guy situation, the tub is literally taking him away, like flying off into the air. And so he's like, oh, this is worse. What are you doing to me? There, of course, were a couple other parodies, but I don't have enough time to go into a whole lot of them. The fact that Family Guy did this with Calgon taking me away shows you that it is still in the consciousness of a lot of people because the bath soap and everything, everyone's kind of knows where this is coming from, or they can make an educated guess if they didn't grow up in the 70s or 80s. The next thing that I'm going to go into now is there's a famous Hillary Clinton commercial. When she was running for president in the primary elections in 2008, she was going up against Barack Obama, and she had a commercial where she was trying to emphasize how she is more qualified and prepared than Barack Obama to be president at this particular time. The way the commercial is laid out, of course, is pretty well. You get the idea and the picture of where she's coming at when she does this commercial. We need someone who's ready to be president at day one, and she's ready at day one to be president. After this commercial came out, there were a lot of interesting things that people did with it. There's a bunch of satires that were done. It's kind of funny the way a lot of things that people do, the creativity they do when they are mocking or using a famous commercial in order to make a splash, to make people laugh or look at these things. The person who creates these commercials wants it to be taken seriously, and a lot of people see an opportunity saying, "Oh, well, what if you did this and this with this commercial?" This little phrase kind of reminds me of something I saw from something else. So let's put these two things together. There are three things that actually I'm going to be using here in this particular case because I wanted to show you kind of the diversity that came up about this particular ad of Hillary Clinton's. And the first one, there is a better one on this topic than the one I'm going to play you, but apparently that one must have been removed from YouTube a long time ago because I was not able to find it. But I was able to find something similar. And basically, what it is it's about the Ghostbusters. You know, who are you going to call Ghostbusters? And there's another one that involves the bat phone. The final one that I'm going to be using deals with something with The Simpsons. As you notice, a lot of things pop up on The Simpsons and on Family Guy that just, a lot of cliche things. If you're trying to find parodies about something, odds are The Simpsons or Family Guy has done it, and you can always go and look for it. I'm going to play all three of them one after another here, and then I'm going to look at this trend. After you hear this, then you will understand how parody has fallen into folk tradition. And just like with the guy standing up on the World Trade Center, who suddenly finds himself being pasted all over the world in different locations, people have made parodies of these things. They fall into the memosphere. They can be found all over the place and are easily found with a Google search. So these are the three things that I want to play for you.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call. Whether it's someone who already knows the world's leaders, knows the military, someone tested and ready to lead in a dangerous world. It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. Who do you want answering the phone?
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
It's 3 a.m., and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House, and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call. Whether it's someone who already knows the world's leaders, knows the military, someone tested and ready to lead in a dangerous world. It's 3 a.m., and your children are safe and asleep. Who do you want answering the phone?
I'm afraid of no ghosts.
it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call. Whether it's someone who already knows the world's leaders, knows the military, someone tested and ready to lead in a dangerous world. It's 3 a.m., and your children are safe and asleep. Who do you want answering the phone?
Yes, Commissioner. Campaign that deals with the issues. I'm convinced the American electorate is too mature to be taken in by cheap vaudeville trickery. After all, if our national leaders were elected on the basis of tricky slogans, brass bands, and pretty girls, our country would be in a terrible mess, wouldn't it?
American way.
It's 3 a.m. and the phone's ringing in the White House. Who do you want to answer that call? Hillary Clinton?
Hello? The Situation Room? I'll be right there. Oh, it's for you.
Yes. From now on, it's always for me.
Or Donald Trump?
Not now. I'm on Twitter. And Elizabeth Warren tweets too damn much. Glad I exiled her. Send. Oh, and put my name on the Lincoln Memorial. Make Chris Christie eat a worm just for laughs. Disband NATO and make me some scrambled eggs in a gold plate. What? Fine, I'll be right there. Too late. The Chinese fleet is advancing. Just build another wall. Yes, in the ocean, loser.
Paid for by Americans who are really starting to miss Obama.
Finally, my mind's made up, and so is yours, right?
Absolutely. I'm voting for Trump, right?
If that's your vote, I question whether I can ever be with you again.
And that's how I became a Democrat.
Think about those two commercials and then that Simpsons episode about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and who you're going to vote for, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. So they go and they turn on the TV and, you know, Hillary Clinton is lying there in bed and Bill Clinton is answering the phone and acting like he's still president. It's like, oh yeah, right. That I forgot. My wife's the president now. And she says, yes, from now on, it's always going to be me. So you can see how the idea about, well, we still have Bill Clinton in the White House and we love Bill Clinton, therefore we want Hillary Clinton in the White House. That was kind of an idea that was going on around that time with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Of course, this particular episode came out during the Trump-Hillary campaign. Otherwise, Donald Trump wouldn't be in it. They took it a slightly different route so that you would have people of two different political parties there. And one of the things they, of course, they do here with Donald Trump is they're emphasizing how he's just like staying there in bed and someone's calling him 3 a.m. and he's like, it's like, leave me alone. I'm tweeting right now, because Donald Trump, of course, is famous for tweeting a lot of things. He's trying to convey his ideas out there and he's always tweeting. A lot of politicians don't seem to like him tweeting, but others are just saying, well, why not? You know, Twitter's there. Why not go and do that? You can't see the entire Simpsons episode part here because this is radio, but basically Donald Trump is taking forever getting ready to go into the Situation Room to take care of this crisis that is coming across the country, and his face is like bleach white and they spray painted orange because he's famous for, they say, for having an orange face. And when he wakes up in bed, his head is completely bald, and what they do is they give him a cat to put up on his head, and they kind of twist it around so that the cat makes it look like he still has his hair. So that's a cat hair instead of his hair. Then he has to wear these gloves that make it look like he has orange arms and all these other things. And all of a sudden he's like, all right, I'm ready. And then he gets up on the phone and is like, what? Oh, the situation's over and the Chinese are about to take over the world. Well, okay, I guess I'm too late. Of course, it's poking fun of both candidates. Of course, this is probably making Donald Trump look worse than Hillary Clinton, but you just got to laugh at some of the cliches. There was the stereotype of Donald Trump, what he does every day, why he tweets all the time, and what he thinks is the most important thing in the world, and it's not running the country or whatever, despite, you know, he's just too lazy to get up out of bed and do these things, you know, despite the fact that he's been running a successful business forever. Then we go, of course, we go to the Ghostbusters. That was the first one. You know, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. Whenever you see something like a phone is ringing at 3 a.m., who do you want to be on the phone or who do you want to answer the phone? And who are you going to call Ghostbusters? I think that was just an easy thing that people were going to jump on and come up with some parody of. No matter what you felt about Hillary Clinton or about that ad, it's just fun to create parodies of different things, whether it's a song or a commercial. The original one that I really liked, actually, it was a little bit more in-depth about the Ghostbusters thing because it showed the It suddenly went over to the girl picking up the phone and said, hello, Ghostbusters, and then it popped the song on. And then at the very end, you have Bill Murray saying, well, you're a politician and I'm a voter. Aren't you supposed to kiss my butt? I think that was done a lot better than this one, but you generally get the idea. Who are you going to call Ghostbusters? Then the other one is about the bat phone. So when we think of the bat phone, I don't know about you, but at work, when I've been in several places, they referred to the phone that you call to call in sick or say that you can't come in for some reason or another. They call it the bat phone because that's the phone that's on the floor. And that's when you tell them, oh, I can't do this. It's an emergency, whatever. So just like when you call Batman on the phone, it's an emergency, then it's an emergency, you call the bat phone and you tell Batman, I can't make it. And of course, at the end of this one, Batman does go into a little bit of a political spiel and talking about what politicians should be doing. It makes perfect sense that they would do something with Batman with this particular commercial. Sometimes I wish I could just talk to a lot of these people to see how they create a lot of these things, because I really enjoy creating those things as well. Parodies, of course, have been going on forever. It's just that with the coming of the internet, internet memes, and the use of easy access to recording equipment where anyone can post online, especially on YouTube or other places, you'll just come across so many more of these kinds of things. Mocking commercials, I remember doing that for a long time. It's just a lot of fun to do that, and I love to talk to people. And when you're talking to people, you want to know where they get the ideas from. What I then might ask anybody is, what are your favorite commercials, and what are your favorite commercial catchphrases, and how can you use them to create something of your own? When I was teaching English classes, the students, I would ask them to be creative and create their own things, and they really come up with a lot of interesting ideas. There, of course, you know, politics is just rife for opportunities of poking fun at people. That's probably why I tried to only do one example of a political ad, and then I did another one of a much older ad dealing with bath beads. You can pretty much make a parody about anything, just how well you do it. Let other people decide. So folklore, again, is all-encompassing, especially online. Anything can be thrown into a meme for a folk tradition. Just about anything can be altered in order to suit someone else's purpose, where they're trying to impress their friends, or they may not realize that they're following a certain kind of trend, a meme that continues over and over and over again. I think one of the most famous ones was, you have reached the end of the internet. There's no more of the internet that you can see, so come back later when we have more of it. It started out as a very small, short meme, and then it just grew and grew and grew until that meme just went over and over and over again through the loop where people would keep adding their own little bits there to make it more funny. You've probably all seen the Colin Kaepernick Nike commercial. Don't try and be the fastest in the country or the fastest in the world. Try and be the fastest ever. And then another part of that commercial says, don't picture yourself wearing OBJ's jersey. Picture him wearing yours and aspire to be the best ever. Don't let other people mock you, or if they think you can't do it, that's a compliment because that's a challenge to you to go and do it. After that commercial came out, people created a bunch of videos and a bunch of different pictured memes where with the Nike logo on the bottom, some of them had Kaepernick in them and some didn't, where they were saying, don't try and be the best president or something. They were talking about Donald Trump. They were saying, don't try and be the best this or the best that. Final line is, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. The pictures that you see sometimes are like, believe in something, even means sacrificing everything. They have a picture of O.J. Simpson, or they have a picture of Hillary Clinton. And these people went in and created their own little spiel, either if it's from personal perspectives on things or whether they were just wanting to be funny. There is a mock commercial about that where this guy is laying out a bunch of things about don't try and do this and don't try and do this because of this. And one of the more interesting things he says on that mock commercial is, don't try and be the best soccer player because you're going to get a trophy anyway. And so it's kind of a jibe onto how the views that some people have about sports where, oh, it's not fair that this person gets a trophy and this one never does and all of these things. And we don't want to hurt their feelings. And then other people are saying, well, since when did feelings have to do with dealing with the real world? You deal with the real world, you accept what happens, and you get up and you work hard, in a sense. That's kind of what Kaepernick is saying here, despite what you might think of Colin Kaepernick and whether or not he should have been in that commercial. You're just saying, well, you just pick yourself up and you work harder and go after it again. That's the messages that are going there with that particular ad and those particular parodies. You can add just about anything. You know, I believe in myself because I use my crack cocaine every morning to get me going. And so I believe in my crack cocaine. You know, that's just kind of an example that popped off the top of my head. I didn't quote it completely correctly, but that's just a way to lay out there something else that I didn't read, but just popped into my head. This is where I'm going to end this particular episode. I hope you enjoyed these things about the commercials and about Wikipedia. You might have been a bit confused about what I was doing with Wikipedia, but I wanted to emphasize that Wikipedia really can get you into some trouble if you're looking for facts about something, but there are a lot of interesting articles that come up that people have written about that you might never have heard of as well. And that interesting trend of finding that weird, strange article that I just love reading about, or that article that just stands out above all others as most interesting or most entertaining. I just encourage anyone to go through Wikipedia and see what you can find. Just type in keywords and see what pops up, and it can be a lot of fun. And always appreciate the commercials that come out. It seems the more obnoxious and the more annoying they are, the easier it is for them to stick in your head, and perhaps the more likely it is that someone's going to make a parody of it. So just always appreciate the great artistic value of commercials and what people do with their products and how they explain them. Sometimes they are the stupidest commercials in the world, but their stupidity is what keeps them in your head so that you always remember them. As I depart, I would like to remind everyone that if there's any particular topic that you would like me to bring up in Baladishenish, feel free to email me at folklorenow33@gmail.com. If you have your own stuff that you've already recorded, if you've sung a song or you have a story you've told, or if you have an interesting idea or a folk topic and that you either want me to read or that you would like me to play you recording your description of it, feel free to email it to me. And I look forward to anything that you might send me. Of course, I will use my discretion as to whether or not I'll use it. But as long as it's not something vulgar, odds are I will be putting it up. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. And we hope to see you all on the next episode of Baladish Anish, Folklore Now.